In the name of Jesus, our Epiphany light. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read, with special attention to verses 13 and 14, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. So far, the text. Dear friends in Christ, the Epistle of Hebrews displays a high Christology in the most elegant Greek in the New Testament. Christ is held up in every way. Christ, Hebrews asserts, is superior to all the angels, superior to Moses, superior to the Aaronic priesthood. Christ, Hebrews continues, provides for us a better covenant, a better sanctuary, a better sacrifice. The more fully we understand our Old Testaments, the more these claims will ring in our ears with the heights of what God has done in Christ. And the author of Hebrews confesses that in Him all is in all. Every fulfillment of the promises, the personages, and the institutions of the Old Testament comes about in Him. The present text is situated in two chapters that fall after that rich Christology. Here, the faithful, under pressure and under persecution, are encouraged to persist and to encourage one another so that their earliest confidence might remain and their faith not be shipwrecked by sin. Our systematicians might categorize this text as an evangelical imperative or encouragement for a life of sanctification. But permit me to share just how high the life of sanctification can reach in the life of one seminarian, even in a cold, long Indiana winter. Repeatedly, I have seen this seminarian in the gym, working out on one of the non-impact machines, and there positioned before him as his legs moved and his cardiovascular system became more active, there before him on the machine were Hebrew vocabulary cards. And on one occasion, even his Hebrew grammar. Sanctification of body, sanctification of soul in one exercise. But now I can sense immediately as I have spoken that the weight of the law is descending upon some seminarians. Their body has not been in the gym for some time, and their Hebrew vocabulary cards are holding up their portable television in their dorm room. But be of good cheer. The high Christology of Hebrews covers even those sins, the sins of every seminarian, the sins of every professor, the sins of every Christian. But how do we encourage one another without falling into work righteousness or moralism? Let me suggest that one way is to look at our calling in context. The context in which you and I are called to hold up Christ is filled with reasons to remain steadfast and to hold firmly to the end with confidence. The context in which we work is filled with a darkness that is deadly. Tragically, it appears not as darkness, but as sophistication and knowledge. There is probably no better window on what is happening in higher education and the academy than the journal called the Chronicle of Higher Education. This large weekly newspaper is the job market for aspiring young professors and contains regular editorials and scholarly opinions on a range of issues by professors at the most prestigious institutions. In the January issue, an article caught my eye. It was entitled, "Why We Aren't So Special." And I'd like to read the two critical paragraphs of that article. Here's what it states. At one point in Douglas Adams' hilarious Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a sperm whale plaintively wonders, "Why am I here? What is my purpose in life?" as it plummets towards the fictional planet of Magrathea. This appealing but doomed creature had just been called into existence several miles above the planet's surface when a nuclear missile directed at our hero's spaceship was inexplicably transformed into a sperm whale via an infinite improbability generator. Evolution, too, is an improbability generator, although its outcomes are considerably more finite. And then here is his conclusion. Here then is a potentially discouraging word for humanity. Every human being, just as every hippo, halibut, or hemlock tree, is similarly called into existence by that particular improbability generator called natural selection, after which each of us has no more inherent purpose, no more reason for being, no more central significance to the cosmos than Douglas Adams' naive and ill-fated whale, whose blubber was soon to bespatter the Magrathean landscape. There you have it, from a professor of psychology at the University of Washington. No purpose. No reason for being, no significance, just the darkness of capricious selection and then death. You, dear seminarians and faculty and staff and guests, are called and sanctified and separated to be a light in such a dark world. What a wonderful calling is yours, to hold up Christ in his holy work, to confess with sacred scripture that humanity is at the center of creation. Indeed, the world was created for our benefit, and that we might live and not die. Yours is the holy vocation of saying that there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, and that we are of such significance to the Heavenly Father that the very hairs on our head are numbered. The ecology of this fallen world breathes darkness and death. It's there even when it's not stated so baldly as the professor did. But you come announcing the light and life of Christ's resurrection. What a calling! What a reason to be confident. Death could not contain the Christ. Darkness could not envelop him. He rose and he lives. He who is superior to all powers of the past, the present, and the future. When we need encouragement and confidence, we don't turn to our will or our petty emotions generated by our hearts, and certainly not to the dim light bulb of our intellect. We turn to the fullness of God's mercy and grace in Christ and in him crucified. And there is no other name, we confess, that will bring light and life to men. Every other name is empty. Every other name darkens life. Every other name brings death. But Christ's name brings life, and we will announce his name as the only name that bears God's true presence. When the floods of baptismal water joined to Christ's word wash across God's people, there is life, for they in that are joined to Christ. And that humble human hands and lips might be a part of that life-giving mission. What a privilege, what a purpose to prepare to be a pastor. And when the crucified Christ is held up by the proclamation of his holy life and atoning death, the Spirit attends those words with life for all who will hear. And of course, when lips receive the very body and blood of the living Christ, there is life, for their sins are forgiven. If there were ever a good time to be a seminarian, to be a pastor, to be a Christian, it is now. God has given each of us, God has given his church life in the midst of a culture of death, life that flows freely from the cross and the font and the altar. Rejoice. Be grateful, be courageous, be confident as you bring Christ's gifts of life to a dying world. And by God's grace and the power of his Spirit, people of all ages and nations will learn that they are not the product of capricious evolutionary selection. No, they are the wonderful, wonderful objects of God's eternal gracious election in Christ, and they are there to receive his gifts. What a calling! What a calling is ours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.